بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing on the advices of the protection of the tongue, Hazrat says, if perchance, due to the overpowering of shaitan or the nafs, a person fell into sin, then he should not advertise his sin. Now they don't be proud of what you have done wrong. You shouldn't even be proud of the good things that you have done and go around advertising to everybody. Do not engage in debates and arguments with anyone. When you see that the one addressed is not prepared to accept the truth, then keep quiet. Because there's a possibility if you're trying to force the person to say something, he might utter such words which may lead to the destruction of his iman also. To fight and argue on behalf of a cause which is incorrect is very evil and trait. Not form a habit of telling false stories merely to make people laugh. You must rather look at the moral behind the story than just to laugh it off. Do not utter any words in which there is no religious or worldly benefit. If someone has committed an error or sin, then it is good to advise him with feeling and concern. However, it is evil to rebuke, reproach him with the intention of degrading him. One should fear it may happen that the one giving the advice may fall into the same problem. Just the ghibah, backbiting, takes place with the tongue. Just as ghibah, that is backbiting, takes place with the tongue, so too does it occur by imitating someone. In fact, this is more evil. Example, constricting one's eyes and looking, walking with a limp, etc. May Allah give us the tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just read the hadith of one paragraph that we read yesterday. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked for more advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, associate yourself with the poor and the needy, be friendly with them and sit in their company. When Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala requested further advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, look towards those who rank below you so that you may get used to being thankful, and do not look at those who rank above you lest you should despise the favors of Allah upon you. Continuing further with the last paragraph of this hadith, when Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu again asked for more advice, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, let your own faults prevent you from criticizing others, and do not try to find faults with others, because you commit those faults yourself. While I was reading this, two pearls of Hazrat Maulana Musila Sahib rahmatullah alayhi came to mind, and I thought I should say it to our brothers here. One was, Hazrat said that a person is concerned about a wasp, a fly sitting on somebody else's nose, but he forgets to realize that there is a wasp sitting on his own nose. And go further, he also said that we are always on a fault-finding mission, looking for faults in others. As I said, if you are really so concerned about looking for faults, then look for it within yourself, you'll find plenty. It is enough to prove you guilty that you should find in others such faults that you yourself possess, though you may not be aware of them, and that you should find it in others such misdeeds as you yourself commit. After this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam patted the chest of Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his loving hands and said, O Abu Zar, there is no wisdom better than prudence, that is the understanding of deen, nor any piety better than the refraining from unlawful, nor any nobility better than polite manners. Hazrat Shaykh says at the end of this hadith, in stating the contents of this long hadith, the gist and meaning has been kept in view, in preference to the literal translation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to bring the reality of these advices into our hearts and our lives.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Just two points of yesterday's bayan. First, one was we mentioned that as far as social etiquette is concerned, social life of ours, we only refer to the relationship between husband and wife that should be maintained, and that should be a good relationship. But also, which is very important, our children with their parents, and mostly it's grown-up children who have fights with their parents. This is also a very, very wrong thing. We should make amends and live amicably and with respect and with honor our parents. That is very important. And with other family members also. This fighting in the families, breaking off relationships, and very sadly it's for small petty things. Because they did not invite us to their wedding, so we are upset about that. For many wrong things like that. So that is also very important, that in our mu'asharat, it's not only with the wife and the family that we love well, but with everyone else, with neighbors. And not only that it is a fair and just relationship, we should try and endeavor that kindness from our side. Not only we maintain a good relationship, but with great kindness and with affection from our side, we should try and maintain that. Then one lady emailed with regard to the qaza of namaz, of rozas, that when we have missed our, when we broke our roza, and now we have to keep the roza. So this is also a thing which is affecting, when we thought about it, many people. It's not only this one case, but there are many cases, especially those who get married just before Ramzan, or even a few months before. Many destroy their rozas then in the month of Ramadan. Many people who go for Hajj just after marriage, and that whole Hajj is more a honeymoon than what it is a Hajj. So, and many wrong things happen in this case here. So many young couples, there are many such people who have destroyed their rozas, and now you have to keep the kafara. You have to give the kafara of, you have to keep your rozas, right? And paying your fidya is not sufficient. Even if you paid your fidya, if your health is good, you still have to keep it. Fidya you can only pay when you haven't got hope of you recovering. You cannot keep roza and you haven't got hope of recovering. Then you pay your fidya. And even then, if your health, you gained your health back, still you have to keep it again. So those 60 rozas are important. And we don't have to be shy. Now some people are afraid. What must we do? Why are we keeping 60 rozas? All going to ask the family people. And now we are shy to say. There are, in such cases you can make a toria. Say words like, when we were young we broke our rozas. We were naughty. We didn't realize. You don't have to lie also, but you don't have to now go and admit what happened. But keep the rozas and have the himmat and courage. Allah's help is there. And you'll be surprised what doors Allah will open after that. When you want to please Allah and you keep your rozas, And then Allah will open ajeeb doors upon you. And until we don't do that, then the closeness of Allah, it's difficult to feel. When you are owing somebody something and you are not paying him, and he's a good person, he's a generous person, he showers blessings, but you have not paid him. Now all that goodness is blocked because you are not paying him. Just make that matter clear and then see his generosity, how it will flow. Another point of today's bayan, well, Allah knows, and we are happy with what Allah decrees for us, but that those brothers, mashallah, who are feeling that we are still nowhere, we haven't achieved anything, and we don't know if we'll ever make it, that is a very good feeling. And Allah loves that condition of a banda. As long as that condition, the person who feels, no, I'm on my way, I've done it, I've achieved already, that's a very dangerous condition. And not to be despondent, it's very easy that you just have your eyes on Allah's great mercy, Allah's great kindness. Allah is so merciful, so kind, that you just put your eyes on Him and see how Allah Ta'ala. Our one good friend, Sayyid Fakhruddin of Durban, he was very elderly. We call him a friend because he treated us very kindly, but he was much, much more elder than us. Not only in a position of a father, but a grandfather. He explained many times to us that at one time he was also in great financial difficulties and he had problems, etc. And it was heavy, weighing heavy on his head. And those days, our people plenty should make namaz in Grey Street Masjid also. Now, usually, we don't go there, they just go to the other masjids. But anyway, he went there and he opened the Quran to read. And the first ayat that his eyes fell on was this ayat, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There isn't any moving thing on the surface of the earth, but Allah has taken the responsibility of giving the rosy. He says the way that he says he can't believe what happened. All that worries went away and Allah opened the doors after that. And then, mashallah, Allah made him a very rich man also, and Allah blessed him with lot in this world. So our eyes must be on Allah in every, no matter what guna we have committed, Allah's mercy is unlimited. No matter what problems we have got, Allah's mercy we cannot. So keep your eyes on Allah. So you won't become depressed. You won't become despondent. If you keep your eyes on your own efforts, etc., you keep your eyes on asbab, you can easily become very depressed. But keep your eyes on Allah. Even if we are making our islah and we cannot get there, we are faltering, but just keep your eyes on Allah Ta'ala. And in this also, a beautiful analogy which is given by Hadrat Manana Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And this is a thing, if we open our eyes, we see it every day. Children that are born and growing up, all the time we are seeing children. And what is the procedure? We see when they are born, their eyes are closed, hands are closed. Slowly they open their hands, their eyes. Then they start moving a little, but they can do absolutely nothing for themselves. Slowly, slowly this process carries on. And usually the mother more, the parents are wondering, why is not the child now making more? Because they are worried. The child must be normal, it must move, it must start walking, it must move, etc. And then they get worried about the talking. So, but all this takes its process and its time. So then the child eventually one day comes when he stands up, and that's such a joyous time for the mother. And she phones the father also or tells him, today the child stood up on his own. But he fell down again. Then he takes one step and he falls down. Takes two steps but he doesn't give up. He carries on. And soon he's running also. And now he's jumping also. And now he's riding a bicycle also. And he's without hands on the handle. And he's riding now. And he's doing funny things on the bicycle also now. Our heart comes out when we see what they're doing. But see where has he reached. And don't forget where he was. So just like that, the salik, inshallah, just carry on. Humne is tarah se tay ki manzile, Maulana says, we have covered our journey to Allah in this way. Chale, we walked. Gire, we fell down. Uthe, we got up. Chale, we walked again. So that is simple, and Allah shows it in front of our eyes. The child that is so helpless, but where he reaches, and then he becomes a young man, and then see what strength Allah gives him, many times what finances Allah gives him, what knowledge Allah gives him, what and what he can do, and where he started. So don't ever give up hope. The other one point that was not mentioned, that is also very important, is that those who have this fear that I won't make it, I'm nowhere still, they will reach far. And those who are content that now we are on our way, we are okay, that person, he won't stay where he is, he'll drop. Like if you take a ball and you throw it up, what strength, force, and what the weight of the ball, it will keep on rising. But at a certain point, it will stop. And where it stops, it doesn't stay in the air. It comes down faster than what it went up. From here, our ulama explained, there are three conditions of a salik, a person who wants to reach Allah Ta'ala. One is a talib, a seeker. And this person keeps on going up all the time. Then there is the qani', the person who is content. The person that now I'm alright, and I don't have to go make more effort now. He's the ball that reached its height. He's content there. And then from there you become a naqid. You start criticizing other people, finding fault in other people. And then you start falling down immediately. So we must just be talibs all the time. And what Maulana read was so beautiful, that those people which Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, who have got a hobby of finding faults in other people. So enjoy your hobby. You don't even have to look at other people. Just look in yourself. There are more than enough faults which you know. In that person is a doubt that maybe that fault is there, maybe it's not there. Maybe I'm just imagining, I'm thinking about it. But your own self, you know what faults you have got. So just look in yourself and enjoy your hobby. Everyone, what is his hobby? He enjoys doing his hobby. So just enjoy looking at the faults and then start remedying those faults. So a person does not have to lose hope, and he has to be on his way all the time. In today's ayat that I recited, it's a famous common ayat which many of us also have heard many times. And what we actually want to try and discuss is the importance of the islah. And then what is this islah? Ta'alluq with the shaykh. How to benefit from the shaykh. And how we can move forward in this path. What is called tasawwuf, what is called suluk, piri, muridi, the khanqa effort, etc. to try and get a little bit more understanding. Many of us, mashallah, have got already quite a bit. There are some brothers who don't usually attend. So for everyone's benefit, we will discuss this a little bit. So, like we have little children, if they have to lose their parents, may Allah save us all, especially both the parents, mother and father, in an accident or anything else, it happens sometimes. And, or if the parents divorce, they separate. And then also, though they have got parents, but they're like children without parents. And they are really pitiable, those children. And those children that grow up like that, in most cases, not all, in most cases, they grow up to be delinquents, to have bad habits, because there isn't the control of the father, there isn't the affection and love of the mother, and they become delinquents. And then these children, usually, when they are teenagers, they have developed such an attitude that they are not prepared to listen to anyone. Whoever tells them, they are rude to those people, they rebuke them. And they've got a know-all attitude. These people, what they know? We know more better. So this is a dangerous condition. And that is the condition of a person who has not become conscious of his islah and hasn't got a shaykh over his head. At this point, it is also important to understand, never stay without a shaykh. When your shaykh has passed away, our shaykh, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that if the husband has passed away, then the iddat for a woman is 4 months and 10 days. And when your shaykh passes away, your iddat is 3 days. Within 3 days, find another shaykh. Don't stay without a shaykh. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq. After Hadrat passed away, we went to Karachi and became bay'at again. So don't stay without a shaykh. You must have a sheikh. It's extremely important to the shadow of the sheikh. He said, which Maulana Abshah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah Ali used to say, that the boot, the shoe, the leg on the brake pedal is very important. And that is the sheikh who puts his leg on the brake pedal, who controls you, who keeps you in limits. That is very, very important. And if a person, imagine that driver that hasn't got a brake pedal, and his leg is heavy on the accelerator. What will happen to that guy? What will happen to him? What will happen to other people? This, the hadith explains what happens to such people. Like two wolves, hungry wolves, that are put into a flock of sheep. How they will eat them up. This is the condition of those people, that if they don't have a sheikh over their head, then you cause great havoc and destruction. So the Buzurgs have explained this, that such a person who hasn't got a sheikh, that person, what is it? Jo apne aap ko mustaqil bi zaat samajhta hai, that I don't need anyone to guide me, to tell me. And Hadrat used to explain, and all our mashayikh explained, this disease, very sadly, is more common in the ulama. Because they feel, we got Quran and Hadith, who is there to tell me? I've got Quran and Hadith. And usually in our communities, many cases, you're the senior alim. So who is there to tell me? So you're not prepared to listen to anyone, to ask anyone. So jo apne aap ko mustaqil bi zaat samajhta hai, that I'm sufficient for myself. I got whole Quran Sharif, I got whole all the hadith kitabs, I've got knowledge, etc. Nobody must tell me. Wo mustaqil bad zaat ho. That person becomes completely an evil person, an epitome of evil. And that what comes in the hadith, that the worst creation on the surface of the earth will be the ulama. And the evil will come out from them and return back to them again. One Arab poet says it very very nicely. See if the words will come. Arabic words, but what he says, that when the salt goes bad, ya ayyuhal ulama, ya milhal ard, oh ulama, he addresses the ulama, oh the salt of the earth. Salt is that, like in the sea, how much of salt there is, how much dirt is pumped into the sea, sewage goes into the sea, but the sea, the water doesn't become bad because of the salt. And from there our Shaykh Mana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah explained that the tears, they also got salt in it. When we taste, sometimes a tear drop goes in the mouth, it's salty. That also, if there wasn't that salt, the eyes should have gone bad. The salt is keeping it. Salt is such a thing that like our Qurbani skins, we put salt in it. Salt is the thing that keeps things in order. So he says that the ulama are the salt of the earth. They are keeping the world. Ma yusrihu al-milh idha al-milhu fasad. But if the salt is gone bad, now what after that is going to make the salt right? The salt is the thing that's keeping the sea, the world in order. And if the salt is gone bad, then what's going to come? Agar ulama hi bigar jaye, then who is going to come and make the islah of the ulama? So therefore, it is very, very important. The more your knowledge, and the more you become famous also, because of your knowledge, your fiqh, your bayans, your qiraat, whatever, the more you need the brake pedal and somebody to control you. And we can't make enough Allah shukr and dua for our elders. On that point, I would like to point out, one of our friends, mashallah, Allah give him Lord Jazah Khair, he's present here. Almost all his ibadat, nafil ibadat, he's got my share also in there. And there can't be a greater gift for me than that there. That is the greatest gift. The other friends also must be doing it, but he even informed. When you give a gift, don't keep it in your house. Give it to the person. So mashallah, he gives this gift, and that is what I really depend on and what is my support. He says his tilawat, his zikr, his durood, everything. He makes niyat for me also. So that is, I appreciate that very, very much. One time, Qari Abdul Hamid Sahib, who was the Imam in Kirk Street Masjid, and then he was with Darul Uloom Zakaria also, He went back to India and he passed away there. Allah grant him Jannah. He, for on Bakri Eid occasion, for our Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had made Qurbani. And he informed Hazrat. Hazrat said, there isn't a better gift for me than this. Because the other gift you could have sent something to eat, drink, wear, enjoy, it should have got finished. But this will remain permanently with me, forever and ever. So those are the real gifts, the real gifts. Material gifts, they comes in the hadith, tahaddu, tahabu, but the real gifts are these gifts which have got real value. So anyway, so a person must not be independent. He must have a sheikh and a living sheikh. Our sheikh also say, you had a very great sheikh, but he has passed away, and what shaitan does in this case, always through all the annals of history. Right in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people used to say, we want a Nabi like Musa alayhi salam, who got his kitab in one tablet form. They were also not happy, even with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has happened all the time. With the choosing of the khulafa, shaitan put ideas in the people's mind. This is not the right khalifa. The whole formation of the Shia group, all on this year. So this fitna has been always, that there is nobody to guide me, I don't see anyone fit. And this smacks of so much pride within a person, that I am such a person, that now present in the world, I don't see anyone who can guide me. So I don't know who to make my share, because it shows that you think yourself to be very big. So this has been always our buzur. When Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali passed away, people said, now the work of Tabligh is dead, finished. When then Maulana Yusuf, mashallah, how he made the work flourish in the world. When he passed away, the people said, the work is dead now. Now there is nobody. Maulana Inamul Hasan came, he passed away, still the work is carrying on everywhere. Shaitan puts this in the minds of the people, now there is nobody. Our Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maha Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that whoever there is today, you just make your connection with them. Because tomorrow they also won't be here. You are saying today that those who were here yesterday, they not here. So today I don't see anyone worthy that I can go and become bayat to. So today, who is here today, make qadr of them. Tomorrow they also won't be here. And Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave this beautiful example. You are on the railway station and you want to go to Bombay from Delhi. And you came a bit late, the train started moving. You got a first class ticket also. And you, a person that you say, I only travel first class. I never ever even look at the third class coach. But now, still the train is slow. You can get on the third class. Get on the third class. Otherwise, if you only want to travel first class, the first class coach is gone out of the platform. You won't reach Bombay. You'll just stay where you are. If you get on the third class coach, no doubt, the windows are such, if they open, they're not closing. If they close, they're not open. If the fan is on, it doesn't go off. If it goes off, it's not on. And the seats are also making all that sound. Choo, cha. They lose the seats, making sound. But you get on there, where the first class coach reach, you will also reach the same place. You perhaps not so comfortably, but you'll reach. And where the engine reaches, you're going to reach there also. But get on the train. And the truth of the matter, then, Hazrat said, there is never a case where the awliya are third class. Your thinking is third class, but they are not third class. They are all first class, but your rotten thinking that they are not fit, they are not fit for me. I am more superior. So that is one thing. So it's very essential to have a sheikh. And then a living sheikh. And in there are two things. Not only that the sheikh is living, like when our sheikh was living, but Hazrat reached later in his life, right towards the end, where we couldn't make mashura anymore with Hadrat. So then have a sheikh who you can make mashura with. Not a sheikh that just for namesake. One good friend of ours who studied in Turkeshar, from another country, he came here. So we were discussing this, so I asked him, you became Ba'at. So he said, yeah, I became Ba'at. He said, asked for who? He said, I can't remember now. Was it a Muradabadi or was it a Saharanpuri or what? A wife gets married and she says, I can't remember now that my wife is here Indian, is here Pakistani, is here Chinese. I can't remember who's my husband. From such a relationship, what will develop? Nothing will come out from such a relationship. It must be a proper, I usually say that muftis, they gave, some muftis give permission, you can get married over the telephone also. Maybe some muftis will give married, you can get married on internet also. That hijab and taste, what nowadays Facebook and there is what? Twitter and all what funny things, we don't even know the names of them. But anyway, it is possible that they give permission. If all the muftis give permission that you can have a baby online, that won't happen. For that sohbat, that company, even for 1 minute, then you can hope to get results after 9 months. One person should tell Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he was a very jokey person, every time Hazrat make dua for me for children. After quite some time, they were informal relationship. Hazrat said, I'm making so long dua for you, still no children. Then the other khadim said, Hazrat, he's not married also. So without marriage, how are you going to have? But that was that zamana. This zamana, there is new technology now. Now this zamana, even without marriage, they have children. But that zamana, without marriage, how can you have children? So anyway, till you don't have a share, you won't find the blessings of this path. And many people we have seen with my own experience, people who try and make their own Islam, feel that we know what is right, what is wrong, we know this is haram, this is you must stay away. They try, they take one step forward and fall 2 steps back. And this carries on their whole life. They don't reach their destination. Because you haven't got a guide. And the other is that if you became Ba'at, and you got ijazat also, and you got murids also, and you got 10,000, 100,000 murids. But the day you feel that I'm all right now, how many people kissing my hands, and what hadiyas they are giving, and how they are, coming to me. And the minute you stop at that point, then this our buzur say, jo apne wo khud muslih to kya rahega? Wo muslih kya rahega? What will he be able to make the islah of the other people? Wo khud salih bhi nahi rahega. He won't be good even himself. Where is he going to help other people? Also our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh, once in Karachi, 2 people had come from Jeddah, and big adverts they put in the newspaper that people who want to must become Ba'at to us, etc., advertising to become Ba'at. And all their fazail and manaqib and why. So then somebody asked our Hadrat. So Hadrat said, first find out, well, it doesn't look like, but find out, make sure, have they also got some sheikh? Because if they had a sheikh, I don't think they should have put all these adverts in the paper. This wouldn't have been their direction. They found out, they say, no, they got no sheikh. They just became sheikhs of their own. So Hazrat said, "La ta'khudhuhu baba, bal la baba la." Don't make him your father who hasn't got a father. La ta'khudhuhu baba, bal la baba la. A person who hasn't got a father, don't make him your father. How did he come? From where is he? He is Allah Akbar, Hazrat Allah. Once Hazrat was in Mauritius, and there is Maulana Ishaq Saab, and there was another friend with him. So they were pressing Hazrat's legs. So they said, Hazrat, we will become Ba'at. But on one condition, we become Ba'at, straight away you must give us Khilafat. So Hadrat immediately told that a child that is born immediately after marriage, that child is not Sabitun Nasab. He's a illegitimate child. So you have to first allow some time, not just immediately. So anyway, so a person that even if he becomes a big sheikh, and the minute he's not conscious of his Islam, that person also falls. You can be the biggest sheikh in the world, shaitan, and remember, shaitan comes to everyone according to your status. If you're a maulvi, maulvi shaitan comes to you. You're a tablighi, tablighi shaitan comes to you, and at a time of maut. And this is a very crucial. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, Allahu Akbar, what a great man, absolutely no doubt in his piety, etc. At the time of maut, shaitan came, and every time he is going like in a sort of a unconscious state, and he says, not yet, not yet. He, when he gains his consciousness, his sons tell him, Abba, we are reading, reciting kalima for you, la ilaha illallah, and you are saying, not yet, not yet, abhi nahi, abhi nahi. So he says, shaitan is coming to me and telling me, Ahmad, you got away from my clutches. You got saved from me. I tell him, not yet till my last breath doesn't come out with iman. How much a person must have concern. We don't know how that last moments of, and shaitan comes at that time in various forms. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi, Allahu Akbar, tafsir kabir, your head doesn't work when you see tafsir kabir. What a imam, and what he has written, what in his tafsir, Allahu Akbar. When he was passing away, he was a great philosopher also. Shaitan presented, ask him, you believe in Allah? He said, of course I believe. What's your proof? And what proofs he had? 100 proofs of his shaitan broke. That Imam, what a shaitan came. That Imam Fakhruddin Razi, his level of knowledge, such a shaitan came to me and broke all his 100 proofs of the existence of Allah. Then Allah made fazal. Allah showed him a vision of his shaykh, and his shaykh told him, tell shaitan, I believe in Allah without proof. Now which proof will shaitan bring? There is no proof, I just believe in Allah. So shaitan will come to every person. So it's very important to have a shaykh, by living shaykh, that he is living, and a living contact with the shaykh. Many people have got shaykh, but no contact with the shaykh. And if we have all other types of contact, but not islahi contact. Many of us, we only contact the shaykh that I'm reading tahajjud. We started 2 days now tahajjud. We say, alhamdulillah. And we give the impression that for 20 years I'm making tahajjud. And we see also many of them, the minute they inform, after that the tahajjud also goes. We are keeping rozas every month, the field rozas. Only one day still kept now, alhamdulillah. Whole family is keeping rozas. We get up, we make tahajjud. But then there is nothing more than that. Only for that. And a person who goes to a doctor and only tells the doctor that I'm very well, my sugar levels are good, my health is good. Doctor will say, why you came to me? Why you go to the doctor? You tell him you're bimari. And many people are shy to tell their ruhani, their spiritual diseases to the shaykh. Our shaykh, rahmatullah ali, used to say, why are they shy? Not shy, frightened. That if we'll say, I got this illness in me, I won't get khilafah. That they'll say, I got still bad nazri in me. So now shaykh will say, where are you going to get khilafah? But those are the people who get khilafah. Those who acknowledge their bimari and they want their remedy. Those who are not just here to give a pious show that we are so pious, etc. Also on this point, there are many people, when somebody tells them become bad, they say, we're still not ready. What do they mean by that? We are still so much in sin. So first we have to make our Islam, then we'll be... So for what is bad? Bad is to become Islam. Which clothes must go in the washing machine? You take out the clean, ironed clothes from the cupboard and you put them in the washing machine. No, the clothes which are dirty, the person who feels that I'm not right, he's the one who needs Islam. He's the one who has to become bad and who has to go in the washing machine. Not those that are washed already and ironed and they are put nicely in the cupboard. No, it's not that they have to become bad. They just renew for barakat's sake. But the person who, and when we become bad, our good friend Maulana Abdul Qadir says that, bad hoke bat mat jao. When you become bad, don't sit now. This road is called suluk, to walk. And the one who has become bad, who is in the path, is called a salik, the walker. And if the walker doesn't walk, and the walker sits down, how will you reach your destination? So you have to walk in this path. And what is the walking? Very simple. The very brief, how little wazaif are prescribed, our treatment that is being prescribed nowadays by our shaykh, for example, tilawat of Quran Sharif, and basically by Hadrat, 100 times La ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah. With the little detail, but that is basically. Otherwise, a little bit more, we say maintain Islamic dressing. That we don't have to do anything. We have to wear clothes. Wear Islamic clothes. Read Quran Sharif. Make 100 times zikr of La ilaha illallah. 100 times Allah. And keep contact with the Shaykh. That is all. A person who keeps on taking his medicine, hopefully he will get shifa. A person who doesn't take medicine, doctor gave you the best medicine in the world. And one person who was a very rich man, he became ill, very ill. All the people from everywhere came and visit him. He's a rich man, so all come and visit him from everywhere. His neighbor was a poor man, but he was also deaf and dumb. So he was deaf. Yeah, so he thought, everyone is coming, I must also go visit my neighbor. So he thought, now, but I can't hear. And there are so big, big people there. And I'll make a fool out of myself. So he planned himself that I will ask him, first of all, how are you? Naturally, he will say, I'm well. So I'll say, Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Second, I'll ask him, who is your doctor? He'll mention the best doctor that is available. So I'll say, better, just keep that doctor. Don't keep anyone else. Third, I'll ask him what medicine, and he'll tell me the most expensive medicine. I'll tell him, just keep on drinking that. So he went, he was deaf, he couldn't, now he just had to prepare himself. He asked, how are you? He said, I'm dying, I'm very sick. So he said, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, may Allah increase you all the time. He asked him, who is your doctor? He said, Shaitan is my doctor. He said, you can't get a better doctor than Shaitan. He is the best doctor. And what medicine has he prescribed for you? Poison. So, oh, just keep on drinking. You won't get a better medicine than that. So, anyway, if the doctor has given you the best medicine in the world, but you are not taking it, you are boasting about it by everyone. Our Shaykh, the Imam of Barakatum, says, you won't reach your destination. Even if your Shaykh is La Thani, there isn't a second to your Shaykh in the world. If you keep on making guna, you won't reach your destination. Even if your Shaykh, there is no second to him in the world. And if you are hiding and committing guna, this also we mentioned a few times. Our one good friend, also very elderly, but he treated us with so much muhabbat, so we call him a friend. He was a diabetic. And in fact, one the town people say a miracle they saw, that he was bedridden, like just in bed. Wouldn't get up from his bed. We went and visit. As we came by the door, he got up and came and met us. Everyone, the people were shocked that he got up like this. Anyway, he was very, very sick with his diabetes, and he was admitted to a hospital. And they were giving him insulin and all their medication, the top medication, top doctors, and they monitoring everything. But contrary to all their theories, instead of his sugar levels not even stabilized, going higher, higher. They just couldn't understand the whole world's theories of the experts in diabetes. He failed all the theories also. Till the nurse found chocolate wrappers under his pillow. When he covers himself with a blanket, he's eating chocolates there. So how can you get better like that? So if we came here for, there's all ICU units here. We came here for ICU treatment, but on the quiet when we are there and we are committing guna. And you don't need an iPad, you don't need your phone, you don't need a laptop. You just in your heart, you're opening up all your internet. And that connection, the battery is never flat. From the internet of the heart, that battery is never flat. And you always got air time also there. And you always got access also to the internet. Never that it is offline or anything. And you are opening up all that there with the blanket over your head. And everyone is saying, mashallah, he read Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. And he read so many du'as, which you don't even find in kitab, so many du'as he read. But now he's opening up all that there. How can our ilaj be made? How can I? So a person, first thing is the concern that I need treatment. That is the first thing a person must have, I need treatment. And then the Buzurg say three things. Ittila, ittiba, and i'tiqad, ittiba, and ittila, and ittiba. First, a murid is called that person, not one who gave his hand and became formally. Even if a person, the word murid is an Arabic word, which comes from the verbs arada yurido. a person, and from the ayat of the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ, those whose niyat is the pleasure of Allah. That is truly a murid. A person who has given his hand over, he has become murda badaste zinda. A living person in the hands of the living. A dead person in the hands of the living. Like a janazah when we give ghusl, it's got no choice of its own. You turn it this way, it turns this side. You turn it that side, it turns that side. You make it sit up a little bit, it's got no... That is how a murid must be. A person who presents himself, who has got this i'tiqad. And not only that you have formally just by dekha dekhi, others were becoming bad, you also became bad, or just for barakat, or just for name's sake. No. But a person who has got this i'tiqad, my shaykh will handle me right. And this is the right shaykh for me. And he will handle me, and you hand yourself over to him fully. And now you don't have anything, no agar, no magar from your side. Nothing from your side. Agar ne magar ke saath shaadi ki, to kaash ke paida hua. If got married to but, then hopefully got born. So no agar, no magar, you hand yourself over. That is the first thing. And then you inform your shaykh of your condition, ittila. And that is necessary. And more than what most of us, many of us write our good condition, but our bad condition. Doctor doesn't want to, he doesn't want to fill his records with all your good things. What your problem is, he wants to write that down. So you inform your sheikh. And then what the juiz, what the medicine the doctor prescribes, take that medicine. Don't use your own brains again. Use what the doctor, what he has said. Just imagine one person who was a murid of Hazrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. He informed Hazrat, he said, my son is studying in Aligarh Muslim University and is becoming an atheist. That's a whole story at one time what Aligarh University was. So I'm very worried about him. What Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali prescribed, listen properly, clearly. He said that put your son in Banaras Hindu University. He's becoming an atheist in Aligarh Muslim University. And what Maulana is prescribing, put him in Banaras Hindu University. He was a murid in the true sense. He didn't question nothing. Like that, it seems totally illogical. It seems totally, when he's becoming an atheist in a Muslim university, what will happen in a Hindu university? But he was a murid. That is what you call a murid. He didn't use his own thinking. He transferred him. He put him there. He became the best Muslim. A super Muslim he became. So he informed Maulana Thanwi, I don't understand. I'm your murid. You told me I did what you told me. And I got my results. But I don't understand still now also. Others explained that there are two explanations. One is that a person when he takes things for granted, then he's not conscious. Like the Muslims of South America, they explained to us, they all came from Palestine, Lebanon, and they were Muslims and they just took things for granted. When they came here, then there was now nothing to do, there was no environment, etc. So many of them became conscious of their deen. When we were in Germiston, there was one person living directly opposite the masjid. Even Eid namaz, he shouldn't come. But with the Group Areas Act, he was a Malay person, so they had to go and live in the other area, the colored area. There he made Isha, he made his house a Jamaat Khana. With his vehicle, he should go and pick up people to come for Isha. Because now he became conscious. He did not for granted. Yeah, Azan used to take place, people are coming to the masjid, you take it for granted. So when you come into an adverse condition, some people get destroyed completely in that. But otherwise, now you become conscious of your identity. Who am I? What my religion is? So that was one explanation. The other Hazrat said, this is the whole thing. When whatever the sheikh prescribes, it is from Allah's side. When you ask, and really, where there is sincerity, like we are sitting here, if within all of us there is sincerity, in me also, you also, then the speaking is not what I want to say, not what you want to hear, but Allah makes it that what is important, what is necessary, that gets spoken. And we hear over and over, our satis came, I came with 10 questions today, all my questions answered. And Allah makes it like that. This is the system of Allah that works. That all what I had, all my questions, many of our friends also, when they just come, they ask questions, I say, stay few days. Afterwards, we will answer your questions. And then they say, now we don't have got any questions. But if there are any questions, oh, by all means ask. So this is the system of Allah Ta'ala. So our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, when India-Pakistan relations are not always good, most of the time they are bad. That is. And the post also then goes via UK and goes to the other country, not just across the border. So His Hazrat said, when I had to correspond with my Shaykh, I had a matter. My responsibility and duty is to write it, put it, post it in the letterbox. And he says, whether it reaches our Shaykh or not, whether he reads it or not, whether he replies, you did this, then Allah Ta'ala will make your ilaj. And Allah will sort it out. You make yours, you inform. And then Allah will see that your ilaj and your treatment will come. So we have to just inform. And if we get the information after ittila, ittiba. With close eyes, what the Shaykh has said. But many of us, when we even discuss with the Shaykh, then we, for everything that he says, we got an answer. I did this already. This won't work for me. When beginning work of Tabligh and Dawat, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali said that send Jamaats for 24 hours out. Not, there was no 4 months, there was no 1 year, there was no 8 months and 9 months, nothing whatsoever. So, Abdul Wahhab, Damat Barakatum himself say, Hazrat, people are not prepared to go for Gashta. You talking of going one day in Jamaat. So, Maulana said, that's not the approach to the work. What I say, do what I say. Now you have a problem, nobody is going, then you come back to me. But don't put your excuses up before time. Many of us have got this, what we got in our mind, whatever is being prescribed to us, this won't work already. And most of us even express it, no, this won't work for me. Others, we keep it reserved within us. Shaykh is saying this, but Shaykh don't know my house condition. Shaykh don't know what is in our country, what the conditions are. So he is just talking, no, you do it. Now when you get a blockage, it's not working, now go back. That is the correct approach and the correct procedure. Not from before, but this won't work. No, do what the Shaykh says. And just the Shaykh, Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh's tasawwuf, Hazrat says, my tasawwuf is 100% according to Quran and Hadith. So much so, we saw that Hazrat proved it, his life was that. When people say, make tawajjuh, Hazrat say, I don't know what is tawajjuh. Yes, tell me to make dua. Dua I will make. That tawajjuh, it is, there is tawajjuh. But Hazrat, that simple, straightforward sunnat, ala min hajir rasul. Hazrat says, my tasawwuf, ala min hajir rasul, on the pattern of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everything. So Hazrat says that you inform your Shaykh what your problem is. What your Shaykh says, you try your best to do it. You have a problem, go back, but don't from before already. So in short, our Islam, it's important that every, and speak to our friends also, our family, to every person. Gee, the stroke got left out in between. One thing that gave me so much joy, that so many of our friends who are ulama, they are saying, make dua for our Islam. They are saying we have got this. Otherwise, without this department of tasawwuf, of khanqa, this year, a person generally thinks that I'm a maulana. We take it for granted he's jannati, he's in a top league. He's going straight to the highest levels of jannat. Whereas perhaps namaz is not in our lives. Whereas we still, our eyes are not on anger so much. Our bayans we are speaking, we are targeting certain people in our town. That bayan, you need the biggest bayan in that case. But all these bimaris are in us all the time. And we feel that we are all right. Alhamdulillah, by Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullah alayh, our Shaykh, we have made tasawwuf alive, all the other mashayikh. But my own personal contact, I'm speaking, that today, alhamdulillah, ulama are also becoming conscious that we need our Islam. And if that has come, that is the first thing which each one of us must understand, I need my Islam. On this point also, our Shaykh says, look at Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. What are mountains? Mountains are nothing compared. We say a mountain of knowledge. Who these people were? But with who they became bayat? With Haji Imdadullah. Not an official Maulana also. Haji Imdadullah and Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi, he was a great alim. It's difficult to say who was greater amongst the three, but he was also. So when Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki went on safar to Gangoi as well, and Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi was teaching, so people told Haji Sahib is here and he'll have a program for the students, etc. And that's he didn't still know who is Haji Sahib. He said, who is this Haji? That now he's upsetting our programs, our sabaks here. We have to have sabaks, and now Haji Sahib came here. Who is this Haji? And few times like that. But afterwards when he came to know, then when people asked them, what made you people who were stalwarts of knowledge and you were the imams of your country, people looked after you, up to you with so much, you went and get back to a small non-alim. What did he say? The mithais that we read about in our kitabs, the recipe books you read how to make mithais, those ready mithais we got to eat from Haji Sahib. What we read, what is namaz, what is tilawat, it's so enjoyable, it is all this, we only read it still. And there we got it, Haji Sahib put it into our mouth. He didn't give us the recipes. He didn't let us go and buy the ingredients and make it. He gave it ready for us. On the plate he gave it. So this is that what we have to acquire. So may Allah make us understand. And even those who are not bay'at, who haven't got this thought still, become bay'at. And those who are a living bay'at, not just in namesake, but a living bay'at. And a living bay'at is we inform our conditions. And then we follow also accordingly. And then see, inshallah, what great benefits we get from this path. And remember that make yourself a total muqallid. Don't be a free thinker. Don't be a free lancer. Completely make yourself paban. Put yourself under somebody. Don't ever stay without somebody. Don't think that I'm all right now and I don't need anybody on top of me. Always realize that I need somebody. And there's a famous saying also, a person who hasn't got a sheikh, shaitan is his sheikh. What does it mean? That shaitan will just lead him in whichever way he wants to. That person will have no direction in life. Shaitan will let him go and get destroyed wherever shaitan wants to. And so follow what we have to do and then see. Also one last thing, inshallah, is that many what our problems are, remember, many of our few friends who just came, they also said what their problems are. The solution to the problem is not wazifas. The solution to the problem is not ta'weez. Many people, we want to carry on with our lifestyle. We got problems at home, whatever type of domestic, financial, health, nothing help. Then we go to amils. And now they must give us some ta'weez and habra kadabra, some magic must work. That ta'weez does its magic. I don't give up my TV. I don't give up my wrong lifestyle. I don't give up my missing my namazes. I don't give up my bad habits. The ta'weez must do everything. Islam is not that kind of thing. And then some people say we go to, and people are going to Hindus for treatment. They're going to Krishna, they're going to Sangomas, they're going to those black people. If your mind is like that, then what can we say? And these doctors that are coming from all African nations, and what miracles they are working, and what things don't they do? Hey, you can't imagine that nobody in the world can do the things they are doing. Hey, so all that you want to go to all those people and you find, the thing is you have to see that we find your fault. And your sheikh is to identify and help you and then work on that fault. You can have all the ta'weez, you can have all the wazifas to read, but you're not changing your life. And you have not one wazifa. There are so many buzurgs who have nafil. They never engage. But the basic thing, staying away from guna, is the biggest thing. Fulfilling our farais and then see Allah's rahmat flowing. Otherwise we can be reading wazifas from morning to night. Nazir Bhutto, she used to read whole day Ayatul Kursi, that her kursi mustn't go. Her throne. 1,000 times a day she should read Ayatul Kursi, that her kursi mustn't go. But she got killed, assassinated, whatever happened. So anyway, so wazifas and that. Don't put so much importance on wazifas and so on, all that. The main thing, to abstain from guna, to do our farais, then of course sunnat al-muakkada also, wajib also, then mashallah nafil, mustahab, how much you can, By all means carry on in that also, but get our priorities in order. You haven't got a pot and you are pouring your milk on the stove to get hot. First get your pot and then put your milk in your pot, then it will get hot. Get your priorities in order first. We want to have nice white hot milk, Ovaltine, Milo, cocoa, whatever, but we don't want to get a pot first. Get your priorities in order. Get to save yourself from gunas. La ilaha is first. Illallah, do our farais. Muhammadur Rasulullah, follow sunnah pattern. Then see inshallah how Allah's rahmat and barakat comes. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand the importance of this very important department of deen and to apply ourselves properly in this field also.